You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
PackersTalk.com.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Oh my God. Anybody who listens to us tonight is never going to listen to us again.
I don't think we're releasing this.
Only
part.
If you make it that way, Brian. Only if you make it that way.
Why is it gotta just be laugh. My fault?
Just laugh. That's all you gotta do.
Oh God, I'm afraid.
Let's do a quick laughing exercise for Brian.
Check New York Bozo, New York Bozo, New York Bozo.
I'm gonna go so angry Jim Rome on you, Brian, it's gonna be ridiculous.
Jordan made some good points and that was cute.
Who, me?
Well, you're real handsome. Your eyes look real nice today in that jersey, Brian, tell you that right now.
And bring you some more devastation and more knowledge and more fun facts about...
Did you just promise
tonight
that we're gonna go devastate all of our listeners?
Good evening, Packer Nation. Welcome back to another edition of Pack to the Future podcast. As always, I am your host, John Jameson, coming in hot all the time because I'm hot in general. So, body temperature wise or looks wise, depending on what you take from that. So, joining me tonight, I'm very excited to announce, is the whole squad Woo. Going up on whoa, this whoa. Tuesday tonight. Nice. Thank you very much. Squad going up. And starting off with our squad is the captain, the commander-in-chief, Brian Fonfara, sipping from his cup of rum chata. Talk to me, Brian. How are you doing?
A couple notes. First, calling me your captain and commander-in-chief is the first nice thing you've said to me all night. Two, it is just rum, not rum chata. I really want to stress that part. I am not drinking rum chata. Please do not lose respect for me.
Kind of looks like rum chata
wrong
to me.
With rum chata, man. There's nothing
that's,
wrong with rum chata.
That's impossible, Brian. That's impossible.
And well, fair point. And three, I'm doing pretty good. Thank you, John.
I have a question. I have a question for you, and I'm going to pose
ask
this
me a question.
And I'm not going to pose this question to the other two guys, but you just are the lucky person to have this random question unveiled on you, and that is
putting me on
if
the
you
spot.
Could go. If you could go back in time and live in any era, what era would you live in?
Dude, I would just live in the 1990s on an endless loop. Easy question. Easy. Why would you need to go any further back than that?
What happened in the 90s? Nothing happened good in
what
the 90s.
What didn't happen in the 90s, man? Boy bands roamed the earth all over the place, man. It was fantastic.
For every boy band, there was a Nirvana.
Okay, we need to end this conversation.
Wait, is that good
before
or bad?
It goes which, down a really regrettable path. I'm
no,
a Nirvana fan.
You're coming down
on.
Final note on the boy bands. I did just hear a random 98 Degrees song yesterday. So
oh.
That was nice. That was nice.
Jordan, give us a little
thing
taste.
As a random 98 Degrees song. They're all just epic.
Give us a little taste, Jordan, as to what that song
what's
was.
What's wrong with
real
you guys?
Well, to be completely honest,
1 week.
To completely honest, I don't remember the title of it, but I heard it. I'm like, oh, that's 98 Degrees. You just know Nick Lachey's voice when it comes
yeah,
on the radio.
Yeah, but come on, you know. a couple of the lyrics.
I think it was called the hardest thing. Is that a song by them?
No, that's the Jonas Brothers.
No, it's not the Jonas Brothers. No, it's not the Jonas Brothers. I'm pretty sure it was the hardest thing.
I'm too old to be on this.
And,
but for real, I liked the Beatles, 90s for the Macarena and the grunge music and the awesome video games
and the flannel shirts.
Stuff,
I've seen you wear flannel. You rock flannel. I'll give it to you.
Dusty, you,
time, man.
I give it
Dusty,
to you.
Dusty, were
you
there
for the
Cream farewell tour? Is that what you were about?
yeah, that was just before my time. I think I was
okay.
There for
oh, okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
Just missed it. Just missed
were
it.
You too old maybe to parent, appreciate yeah. Nirvana, Dusty?
Nah, dude. I mean, well, I was Nirvana, but like really before that, I was Pixies, and Pixies was Nirvana was just like Pixies that got more popular. Kind of,
true.
They took the same aesthetic
true,
and kind of blew it up a little bit.
Better.
But that was What It Smells Like Teen Spirit. Probably middle school or high school when that came out. So yeah, I was down with Nirvana.
Were you kind of thinking to yourself that Nirvana's Bang Bang or what?
Yeah, I thought they were on a scale from zero to Bang Bang, like I'd say Super Bang Bang.
Or, that's dope. That's dope. That's dope.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dusty is back. And I cannot
say his last
be
name,
more
John.
Thrilled. I'm not even gonna try it anymore.
Say
after
his last
week's
name.
Dusty Evesley is back with us.
Nailed it.
And
yeah. Oh, nailed it.
John's fired.
And Dusty, I first off have to start off by apologizing to you for just my ways last week. And I'll tell you this right now off the bat. It is great to have you back on the show with us. We miss you when you're not here. And tell us what's been going on in your world as of late.
You know, not much, man. Just, I don't know if my voice sounds any different. I can't tell. We're in the process of moving. Like, my house goes up on the market in like a day or two. So, nice. I mean, if you guys are listening to this, one of you can buy the house that I'm currently recording this in. I'm going to try to drive the price up. The Dusty Evesley.
This house is one of the original Pack to the Future locations, people. Like, this house is going to be selling for trillions in like 10 years.
That's accurate.
When we have our own Hall of Fame and all that stuff, man, just get in on the ground floor here and buy his house.
Yeah, if you thought.
We could even throw in a free Pack to the Future t-shirt, you know, if they...
We could.
Yeah, I'll leave a little bracelet on the little business card on the floor or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, I got that going on. I missed last week because we were busy packing. We had the pictures taken and all that. So, we've been here for almost 12 years now.
Wow.
And the house is, like, pretty much empty. So, it's a little insane. So, I got that going on.
Dusty, you have a man cave or office type of room in this new house?
Man, it's insane. There's we haven't officially gotten it yet, but it's 3-bedroom, and I was like, I mean, I don't know about that. I want an office, and you know, one of the rooms is gonna be a playroom for the kid, and I don't know. There's a closet adjoined to the bedroom that is legitimately the size of the room I'm currently recording in. So I'm just gonna pop a desk in there. I'm really excited about it. I'm gonna pop a desk, I'm gonna put a TV in there. I'm pretty hyped about it. I'm just gonna watch stuff in the closet. It's not gonna be sad at all, guys. It's gonna be super awesome.
So Dusty will be recording from the cupboard under the stairs, so that's good. If we were to fund you, if we bankrolled you, would you put Pack to the Future wallpaper in that closet?
I mean, yeah.
Let me pass that
by my wife. I could put like a shower curtain behind me or something. I'm going to have clothes, dude. It's still a closet. Like, I'm going to have to have something. I'll find a way to display something behind me. I'll get that going.
Brian, don't act like you don't have to run things by the wife, okay? That's just... Hey,
I never run anything by my wife.
That is... So
because
true,
I am
God
way
God.
Too afraid to.
Oh, get your glasses off and start talking some real talk over here.
I am far too afraid to actually run things by her. I just let her run the show. Dude, I have a good thing going and I do not want to disrupt the status quo.
And Dusty, with that, let me pose my question to you. If you could go back into time, what era would you want to live in the most?
It's tough, man, because I love history. Part of me really wants to go back. Like, I love Civil War stuff, but man, like, there was nothing back. Like, there's no air conditioning and like everything was dirty and like you just get killed by stray bullets and, like, fight over your farmer's like your neighbor's chicken and stuff. So I don't know if I could do it. I think, like, I don't know, man, like, just for the music of it, like late 50s, early 60s, like come in like tail end of like Buddy Holly type stuff, like the birth of rock and roll, go right into the Beatles, kind of the Beatles and Beach Boys and Kinks and everything were kind of huge, the British Invasion stuff, like I love music, and that was a good time for horror as well. I'm a big horror guy, so that was like Night of the Living Dead and Psycho, and so there's a whole bunch of good stuff. I think probably late 50s through 60s, I think, would probably be the time I would like to go.
All right. I can get into that. And luckily for us right now, we have the technology to absorb all of that wonderful
media that was made back then, music, movies, mm-hmm. all of it. So, but seeing that live for someone that has passions like you, I bet that would be top notch right there. So,
oh, I'd be insane.
I like it. And that leaves us with the one and only Jordan Peck. I will not call you my nickname that I thought of a couple hours about for you, but Jordan.
Probably
with
wise.
That being said, the most wise thing I've ever done. But Jordan, how are you this evening?
John, I'm doing fantastic, John. This is an exciting time. Post draft, we got mm-hmm. the whole team back together again. This is a great night. This is a fantastic night.
And with that being said, Jordan, I kind of have the answer in my mind for you, but which era would you go back into?
Maybe like 1830s, you know, Industrial Revolution.
You so try to get would.
Try to get in on some of that.
Some of what?
That's what I'm
are you getting in on?
Specifically,
what are you getting in on? That's a good question.
I'm just getting in on it.
Jordan's
there's a lot of stuff happening.
Jordan's
a lot of stuff
Jordan's
to get
gonna
in
be,
on back then.
Jordan's going to be the railroad tycoon.
I would have figured out electricity before Edison and Tesla. That's what I would have done. Would have made a lot more money.
Wait, question. Do we get to go back in time with a smartphone?
Would have figured out direct current and
nothing.
Alternating
you
current
get
and just had a monopoly.
You get nothing. Then I'll
So we don't have the
90s.
But do we have the knowledge we have now? Are we still I didn't ask that, John. Are we still us now?
You're asking too many questions.
Are we like
about
going back
game?
With the mindset?
We really need to move on from it. But John, tell us yours.
Well, first off, I was going to say that Jordan would probably want to go back into the Viking days, just seeing as how he looks right now.
He does have like a big ale, like a big just tankard of ale. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that sounds right.
Yeah, with a bunch of face tattoos
his way
and stuff.
The countryside, yeah.
Yep, that's what I see. But for me personally, I would love to go back to the 1920s. I'm a roaring 20s kind of dude. I could see myself with a pinstripe suit and a fedora with a Tommy gun rocking on my side.
Can
just
walk
around
town now, John. We can see you now. You're wearing that right now.
Can just walk around town screaming bang bang and just walk into a bank, bang bang, give me all your money, Tommy gun, blap. Okay.
Boardwalk Empire is a great show.
I do love that show. That's probably one of my favorite shows of all time.
It needs to be said. It's a great show.
John, what's your gangster name if you're living in the 20s?
Freelo
you by.
Freelo McGinn.
John Jameson is a perfect 1920s gangster name.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Yeah, but I had this alter ego named Freelo. Maybe some of you guys might know it. Some of you don't. But I won't get into all the specifics. But call me Freelo if you want. But with all that fun stuff aside, I am going to hand over the reins to the one and only Dusty this evening. And Dusty
Evely.
Is going to take over.
Evisley.
You guys.
Yeah.
It was a one-time thing, okay?
And with no further ado, Dusty Erickson.
Dusty, here I am.
Dusty
so
Rhodes.
The part I thoroughly enjoyed is he called me, I believe it was Dusty Easley, and it immediately conjured up, I'm a big Tigers fan, in the like mid-90s. There's an infielder named Damian Easley mm-hmm. who just crushed in video
Ledge.
Games. Like he was there for 7 years.
Ledge.
I actually looked him up today. Had an OPS plus of 101. So he was just like a tick above average while he was with the Tigers, which is kind of like me. I'm just a tick above average. So I think the last name fit, John.
Dusty.
So I appreciate that, buddy.
Dusty, yeah. Dusty, I'll grant you. You are really close with that. But you are actually what takes this show to a tick above average. Like, John, Jordan, and I are so far below average. Like, you bring us up to, like, if we were a school, you would bring us up to, like, the minimum grade requirements to get grammar.
Look at that. Guys, I'm tearing up. I'm tearing up right now.
I see it. You're actually crying.
I literally can't even.
You're actually crying right now.
Without you, this would just be three morons shouting at each other and making fun of each other.
Now we're four.
Now it's three morons and one dude that wonders what the hell is going on.
I don't know about boy bands. I know Backstreet Boys. That's all I got. All right, guys. Let's move this along. Let's move this along. So we're doing coin toss. As everyone knows, what's going to happen is we're going to have three segments. We're going to pair two people against each other. Your boy Dusty's going to flip a coin, and that decides what side they argue. So let's get to it. As everyone knows, the draft happened last week. I missed the pre-draft stuff. You guys did good. Didn't hit a single pick. I got to say that. You guys didn't get a single one right. Brian did bring up Brian brought up maybe trading back in the first round, and you guys blew that up quick fast. Boom. But Brian threw that out there, and that happened.
I got something.
So we got a bunch of draft stuff to talk about, so we thought we'd take three from the draft. So this first one, we're going to pit Brian against Jordan. All right. The question is, it's basically just kind of stuff from the draft. I want a few good things you liked from the draft, or a few good things you didn't, or a few bad things you did not like from the draft. So, Brian, I'm going to flip this coin. This coin is heads. You're going to tell me a few things you liked. If it's tails, you're going to tell me a few things you didn't. Brian, it's tails. There's a few things you did not like about the draft.
Man, I can say as many as two. And it's just positions that I really wish we would have more aggressively addressed. First and foremost being pass rush. I've been preaching all offseason about addressing the pass rush, how doing that will fix your secondary a lot faster than picking a cornerback first overall would do it. And, you know, we didn't get to that until round four. Now, a lot of people see some good things in Vince Beagle, and that's great, but he's not going to be able to step in right away and do anything that's going to turn this pass rush around magically. And I don't know if that player was available at pick 29 or later anyway, but I do wish we would have done that a little bit more aggressively. And I guess a little bit more on offensive line. I know this wasn't as deep of a class for offensive line either, so it's just kind of how the board fell. So this isn't even a beef with Ted Thompson or the scouting department or anything like that. It's just, I'm really bummed how the board fell and that we couldn't find a suitable offensive lineman to pick until the sixth round. And even then, he's, what, like 280 pounds? Like, he's undersized. He's going to have to put on a lot of weight to play guard. Yeah. So it'll help, you know, he'll have a lot of athleticism. He's tall. He has the frame to put on that weight. But, you know, you're probably talking about a minimum of 2 years before he'd even be a backup on this team if it ever happens. But again, that's a sixth round pick. You can't really expect a whole ton more out of that. So, yeah, those are the two things that I wish could have fallen better. The pass rush, you know, Ted picked Montrevious Adams. And he picked Josh Jones instead of picking pass rushers. And, you know, maybe those two will work out, and that's fine. I just wish we could have done that a little bit more aggressively.
All right, Jordan, a few things you liked.
One thing for sure that I liked is the main focus, I think, of this defense the past couple years, particularly last year, was just the speed of it. They needed to get faster. And that was the focus of all three of the first three picks with Kevin Kane, Josh Jones, and Montrevious Adams, particularly the first two, just making this secondary faster. We'll see what kind of impact these guys have. You know, as we kind of talked about this before the podcast was, it takes time to get acclimated as a rookie cornerback. But what's nice is there's not a whole ton of pressure on these dudes to come in and be total lifesavers. I mean, the secondary wasn't good last year, but they're in a good position to be good contributors and hopefully learn on the fly in a relatively pressure free environment, I would say. So that was one great thing. Second thing is the focus on running backs. I loved it. I think it's a great idea. There was some talk about maybe not Devontae Mays in the third one, but it's for me, you have Ty Montgomery, who's still, I mean, they've said he's a starting running back. They've been demonstrative about it, but he was a starting wide receiver at the beginning of last year. You know, we don't know if that's going to stick around. He looked great in flashes, but now we actually have some guys that have been running backs in college. You know, there's a lot of reason to be excited about Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones. Devontae May is a seventh round pick. You know, he's probably got practice squad. That's probably the expectation, but you never know. You take a flyer on these guys. You get three running backs. Your odds of hitting gold, go up. I mean, it's just the law of averages there. So I did like the focus on that. A lot of people said maybe a little too offense heavy. I thought it was a good idea. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a good idea. So you can't really expect too much of your seventh round pick, but to get a guy like Devontae Mays, could be a good practice squad running back, something they could bring in the midseason if they needed to for an injury. And then also the last pick we got, Malachi Dupree. I mean, that's an exciting pick. I mean, we're loaded right now. The roster that the Packers have, I think we have 13 wide receivers. Obviously, not all of those are legit real shots to make the roster. So I mean, it's the odds are stacked against this guy. But I mean, if there's one thing about Packers fans, we get excited about seventh round wide receivers. So it'll be a fun training camp with him. So. Those are my positives from the draft.
I want to add a quick note to Jordan's and say that I just want to put out a hypothetical. Just imagine if Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones start running the ball well, and we can use Ty Montgomery the same way the Patriots used James White down the stretch last year. Imagine trying to defend this offense.
Yeah, I'm sure that's their hope.
They could be bonkers. Good. I mean, I've seen the comparisons I saw to this was kind of what they were saying with what they're hoping Lacy and Franklin were going to be in. Right. And obviously, yeah. Franklin did not last long in the league because of terrible injury. But I mean, if that's what this turns out, if there's a possibility, this could be kind of a Lacy and Franklin duo. Holy crap! Like, they could be insane. All right, this one I'll give to. I don't know, Brian, I guess. He sounded really sad when he was discussing the stuff that he didn't like about the draft. Like, he really sold to me that he was super sad about it. So, that could just be Brian just trying to act too cool. I don't really know, but, I don't know. It sold me. So, Brian, you win.
That was a disappointingly professional coin toss on our end.
No, that was...
Jordan and I didn't take any shots at each other. Like, we didn't... yell or scream or get off topic at any point. Like, we actually made our arguments, and that was just really disappointing.
That's why it was hard picking. I usually go with the person who like stayed most to their point. You guys both stayed with it, so like, what am I supposed to do?
Well, I mean, I'll take the point, guys.
It's not an easy job, Dusty.
It's not. I know, John.
It's not.
It's getting to the end, man. And I was kind of stressing out about it. I don't know how you do it every week or how you did it every week, man. That's awful.
You know what? Just take that in consideration when I do my coin toss, please. Just how tough it is.
All right. So this next one is going to be John and Brian. Now, John, you're in on this because you have to be because you weren't on the last one and you have to do two. Like, those
I'll take
are the rules.
It.
But really. But really, it's because this involves someone that you had the Packers picking with the first round pick in the draft this past week. So this is what we're gonna do. We're just gonna say who had the better who do you think is going to have the better season this year, T.J. Watt or Vince Beagle? John picked Watt to go, as a lot of people picked Watt to go in the first round of the Packers. He obviously did not. They picked Beagle, and so probably not going to keep track of this. We're not even going to remember it next week. But we'll have a better season. So, John, if I flip it and it's heads, you're going to say Watt is going to have the better season. If it's tails, Beagle's going to have the better season. And once again, it's tails. John Beagle's going to have the better season.
I personally do think that Vince Beagle is going to have the better season. And my reasons for saying that, they're pretty simple. I think that... TJ Watt in itself, I mean, he has a lot of natural talent, but he's yet to really put all those things into full practice. He is a little bit of a project, number one, and not saying that Beagle isn't, but I mean, I recently saw some stats about Vince Beagle that got me very excited about this pick, and you know, not only, was it such a value at the time? I mean, we could have taken Watt with the first pick, but we got Vince Beagle in the fourth round, which is just an absolute steal to me. And I mean, these are the kind of athletic numbers and the company that this guy brings in with him. So since 2005, this is for pass rushers, obviously, among people that put up the combine numbers that Vince Beagle did of a 4.67 40. Were at least 245 pounds and did at least a 6.92 3-second cone time. 6.92 second 3-cone time. Those names include Von Miller, Vic Beasley, Anthony Barr, DeMarcus Ware, Bruce Irvin, Connor Barwin, Cliff Averill. I mean, those
names. Name somebody kind of, good? Jeez.
That's the kind of numbers.
At least someone I've heard of.
I'm just saying, like, this is the type of skill that this guy's bringing to the at least physical side of things. And he's young, he's athletic, and I really believe that he's going to get a lot of opportunities Jeez Louise. I get so nervous doing these sometimes. I'm so sorry. but he's going to have a lot of opportunities to attack the quarterback. I mean, Clay has not proven to remain healthy all season. And, I mean, we're looking at Beagle to get plugged into our lineup pretty quickly. And I think that he's going to produce well for the Packers.
Yeah. All right. Brian, Watt's going to have the better season.
All right. Well, if John was telling the truth, he truly believed it'd be Beagle. And I am telling the truth, and I'll tell you, I really think it's Watt. Now, if you're asking me who's going to have the better career, I would be arguing for Beagle. But for TJ Watt, I view him as very much an instant production, maybe not so much on the durability end type of player. A cheaper version of his brother JJ, I would say. TJ Watt is getting plugged into a really good situation on what's already a good defense with established pass rushers, at least more established pass rushers than we have. So he can kind of find his niche. He can find his little wrinkle to add, and he can really just focus on rushing the passer. He has a much more defined position, and this is where I think Vince Beagle is going to come in handy on a long Packer career, because he can play inside, he can play out, and I think that, you know, when he hits his prime and he's just lining up all over the field like Clay Matthews did a few years ago and had a lot of success, I think that's what we'll be seeing out of Vince Beagle in the future. But TJ Watt's just going to line up outside, probably mostly against the right tackle, and he's just going to pass rush. And he's got the size and strength and athleticism to do that now. I just don't see Vince Beagle doing a whole ton this year, maybe coming on late and producing a little bit down the stretch. But TJ Watt has a chance to jump into a good situation. Don't you dare Donald Trump me.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and side with John. And the reason is, towards the beginning, Brian, you said that if we were arguing the better career, you would go Beagle. But the coin told you to go Watt, and it seems like you don't really... You're not really having trust in the coin at that point. So you would not
respect the coin.
Yeah, that was not even part of my point, man. I argued the entire time.
All I'm hearing is,
if I'm being honest, I tuned you out after that. I just nothing after that. You couldn't come back from that, Brian. You don't respect the coin. I don't respect you.
I told you I was coming for you. I told you I was coming for you, dog.
See, John, sometimes it is kind of fun to be the judge. Like, that's...
Yeah. Especially...
You get to just piss people off, isn't it great?
Especially when you pick against awesome. Brian and just hear his sore loserness just shoot out at you.
Oh, my gosh.
It is it felt real good. It is just amazing.
I'm sad he's not doing the next one because I want to see him lose again.
I am going to go skip Bayless all over you. Aaron Rodgers. Right,
can
we mute sucks.
Brian? Can someone mute Brian?
No, I will not be silenced. Right. TJ Watt will have a better season this year because Aaron Rodgers is a terrible quarterback. There. You want a hot take?
That's logic I can't argue with. You know, did you guys see that Mason Crosby's kick in Dallas was going wide left and then it curved back in? Remote control football? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing, is that no one knows. You can't say no.
That remote control football is why TJ Watt will have a better career.
I can't argue with your logic. See, I think Brian wins now. I don't know.
Yeah, you want to give me that point
now? Just move on to the next one, Dusty. Quick.
I'll take that point now.
All right. Last one. John and Jordan face off between the two very bearded fellows.
Jordan, you're going down. Right.
We are all
so,
bearded.
Jordan,
fellows,
you mentioned it a little bit in your first point. We talked about this a little before the show. But the Packers took some guys in the secondary. They took King, traded back and still got him with the first round. They got Jones. So this question is based around the secondary. Do you think this draft did enough to immediately upgrade the secondary, or do you see it as kind of a more of a long-term gain with these guys? So I will go Jordan. Jordan, it's heads, you're saying immediate upgrade. Tails, you're saying long-term.
All right.
It's heads. They will immediately upgrade the defense.
Well, Well, like I said, when we're talking about the good things we liked about the draft, just the speed aspect of it, the fact that they can cover some faster guys that Gunter and Randall and Rollins really had issue with. The issue will be playing time for sure. I'd imagine right now, going into the season, you know, it's still those guys. It's still Randall and Rollins, and now Devon House that we picked up in free agency. But these guys are going to see the field. I mean, you spent your first two draft picks on secondary guys. They're not going to be sitting on the bench all year. Not with the secondary that produced last year. They will be playing, and I think their speed, particularly the height too, with Kevin King, I think will add an immediate upgrade. I just think we talk about, you know, veterans, you know, having veterans on the secondary, you know, youth coming into the situation. But I mean, they're not replacing guys that are that much older than them. I mean, this is Rollins and Randall's third year. I believe it's only Gunter's third year as well. Devon House hasn't been in the league so long. Not that much older than these guys. So we're not talking about that big of an age discrepancy. So if it comes to talent, you know, outweighing experience, then these guys are going to get on the field and this team's going to be better off for it.
Mm-hmm. John, you won't see an immediate impact, but more of a long-term one.
I would definitely view this as a long-term solution to the Packers' secondary needs. I'm definitely looking at a player like Devon House coming in and helping the Packers secondary right away. But in the scenario of Kevin King and Josh Jones getting drafted, I think that Josh Jones is going to struggle to find time often. I mean, he will get his snaps, especially in the absence of Micah Hyde, which is kind of who they're comparing him to and what role he's possibly going to fill. But I think maybe I know Brian and I for sure have talked about it, and we're kind of on the same page, where we think that Demaryius Randall could kind of really fill that Micah Hyde role well. And I think the only basis that Jordan might have for his argument is that the Packers are really looking for Kevin King to come in and establish himself as our number one corner. And they're really hoping that happens sooner rather than later. But I just think with the transition from college to the NFL and the quality of receivers, it's going to take Kevin King a little bit of time to kind of find his way in the NFL. But at the same time, you know, I would look for him to improve, and knowing that his best is yet to come, and that possibly second to third year, a player of his caliber will establish himself as the number one corner in the Packers secondary.
Man, that is that's a tough one. I don't have an easy thing to fall back on, and Brian's not in this one, so I like nice.
Do you want me to make a pick so that you can pick the opposite?
I mean, that'd be super helpful, but you know what? I'm a grown man. I can do this myself.
All right.
Jordan, you win.
Yes. Wrong.
I like your comments about speed. I've got my own issues with maybe too much speed, but yeah, that's, we saw Randall and Rollins step in their first year. I mean, they had a sophomore slump, but their first year they stepped in. So we know it can be done. Yeah. I mean, I do think with the size and some of the stuff they give you, I think that's a good thing. And I think you made that point well. So good job, Jordan.
Well, just the depth, too. I mean, yeah. It's the thing last year is you're throwing out guys like Hawkins, and, you know, guys are getting hurt. We got Marwin Evans in there, Kentrell. I mean, just those are safeties we're talking about.
I'm fine with Gunter. But Gunter was our number one cornerback at one point last year. Like that should not happen.
I can't. No, that's and our secondary looked like that.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
looked like they had Gunter as the number one. So that's nice. We don't have that this year. We have depth. So, yeah. And that's and again, that kind of just goes with the fact that that the secondary just gets better. But I don't need to prove my point.
Jordan, you already wants to just
won,
shut the
so
frick
I'll
up.
Stop talking.
You stupid idiot. And I did not agree with Dusty on that last pick, but I respect Dusty, so he must, and he knows more than me, so I probably did not do the best.
Wow, you really quickly delivered went from
my
sore
point.
Loser to sucking up to one. Dusty.
That man, that turned on a dime.
You
that
see,
was
shut up, happens? Jordan. You're a stupid fart face. I love Dusty.
I know. I just know that I will really not get eligible. I will not get love from God. I will not get love from you or Jordan down the road with my coin tosses. So I have to butter up one of you guys. And
no, man. And if you're gonna
Dusty.
Call me out for my sore loserishness, you sure can't sore loser stuff, man.
I'm going to call you out.
Yeah, you can't. All right, that's fair. Moving on, guys. moving on to what's probably the fairest thing that's ever happened was our bestest friend, Fred Thurston, getting a local spot on CBS and getting to talk about his company called what, Jordan?
I believe it's called Pride and Glory Clothing Company.
Confirmed.
If my notes are correct in front of me. Okay, good.
That was correct.
We have sources.
I'm going to use a lot of legal talk because I just finished jury duty today.
Affirmative.
No objection, Your Honor.
There you go.
Overruled.
There you go.
Move to strike.
I like it.
Bird law.
Move to strike.
Bird law.
Wait, is filibuster.
Is move to strike really a thing they say in a courtroom?
I didn't hear it. It wasn't in this case, at least.
All right. Hey, anyway.
Motion.
Hey, what were we talking about?
I believe it was Pride and Glory Clothing.
We were talking about Pride. That's right. Pride and Glory Clothing Company. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking about these guys, our buddy Fred Thurston and his clothing company for about a year now. We've had them as a sponsor for quite a while. Yes, it's the off season, but I mean, now with the draft, there's excitement about the Packers, a lot more talk. I mean, a couple months, we got... There's going to be OTAs, there's going to be mini camp, before you know it, it'll be training camp, and before you know it, it's going to be Sunday afternoon in September playing Seattle Seahawks. You don't want to wait till then to bolster your Packers wardrobe. So you guys want to check out PrideAndGlory63.com. Got a couple good sales going on. They got a bundle here, a Pride and Glory t-shirt, a winter hat, and a wristband bundle. They got that $8 off for $35. You can get all that good stuff. Lots of good deals, lots of fantastic designs, a couple new designs on here. So check them out at PrideAndGlory63.com. That's PrideAndGlory63.com.
The deals are bang, bang, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Going on, moving on. Further with our discussion of the Packers draft, we will now be picking our favorite pick of the draft. And with that being said, Brian, what was your favorite pick the Packers made in the 2017 NFL draft?
You know what? I'm just going to go full on frame of mind to make our listeners angry. I'm going to not pick Vince Beagle. Partially because he's from Wisconsin, and all the guys I rely on to give me my draft analysis, almost all of them are Wisconsin Badger fans. So when I see the Packers pick a Badger, I kind of cringe a little bit. Just like, is he really worth the pick? Was he totally overrated by fans? Should I actually be excited? So I'm not going to pick that one. And then to complete the cycle of just making all of our listeners angry, I'm going to go with our third round pick, Montrevious Adams. This dude, I know the knocks against him, that he takes plays off, that he's lazy, that he, you know, doesn't finish a lot of plays, whatever. But man, if you look at the plays that he does finish and you imagine those plays happening in a defensive line that also includes Mike Daniels, dude, just imagine if Daniels got under his skin just a little bit and lit a fire under him and turned him into a, you know, 50% of the time guy instead of 30% of the time guy. That's a dude worth keeping on your roster. So this is as high of a ceiling player, I think, as we picked. And it's just that the floor is so much lower. But I like those risky picks. I like taking a chance. And I have a policy to always be happy when a draft pick is spent on the front seven. I just love addressing that because that is what builds a great defense. You look at that, like, decade-long stretch where the Steelers had the best defense in the league. That was all front seven. And Troy Polamalu, granted, but, like, front seven was the key. So I'm always happy to see the front seven addressed, and we did it, I think, in a big way with Adams.
All right. Dusty, do you have a favorite pick of the Packers NFL draft this year?
Man, I do, like... So I'll start off with kind of a frame of mind thing as well. Like, we've talked a lot about, and a lot of Packers fans have talked a lot about, you know, Ted building through the draft, and that's cool, and he's done fairly well with that. But you need to address your holes elsewhere. Man, like, he was able to, by doing just a little bit in free agency, able to do enough where they're just, they didn't have to draft overly on need. They were able to take, if not best player available, at least able to build some depth. Maybe bolster a position. I mean, the secondary was obvious one there, but I mean, we talked, you know, a couple months ago, it was, well, you know, tight ends. We can't go into it with Richard Rodgers if they're not going to re-sign Cook. And, you know, what if Lang leaves? Well, it's a stopgap, but they got Evans at guard now. They got House back to help with the secondary. They signed two tight ends. So all of a sudden, you've got these weaknesses that you've now kind of turned around. And even if they're not maybe strengths, the tight end position is way better than it was. You've still got whether or not emergency needs. So you're not reaching for a pick just because you have to fill that. And so just seeing that was amazing. And like that kind of opened up the draft a little more to kind of do what they needed to do. So I thought that was amazing kind of pre-draft stuff. I love that. For the draft itself, I'll go boring. Man, I'd love that they trade out of the first round. I know some people hated that. I didn't hate it because I wasn't staying up late to watch the draft, so I don't really care. But they traded back, picked up a couple picks. John, you mentioned this earlier. With those two picks, they grabbed King and Beagle, which was just insane. And I'm going to go with King. Just some of the reasons Jordan said earlier, man, some of the speed, like he ran a 4.4340. He's tall. I've seen 6'2 or 6'3.
That's awesome.
I know he's got, what's that?
I said, that's awesome.
I know. Like, if he can turn that around, he can be a little stiff. Sometimes gets a little lost in coverage, or at least he has. But, like, he's got the speed and he's got the size. If he can learn from, one of the better defensive coach backs in the league, I think he could be very, very good. And hopefully early, we got Jones going down to Atlanta and playing Julio Jones on the Falcons on week two. So if he can kind of turn around, even just kind of be a bit player, kind of jam Jones off the line, get to him a little bit, like he could be a game changer in the secondary. I'm super high on Randall and Rollins. Randall especially on a bounce back year, but that King pick could be a game changer. And they traded back and were still able to get him. And that was absolutely huge. So I mean that's the lazy one to say because it's the first one, but I'm in love with that King pick.
And Jordan, who is your favorite pick?
I'm gonna finish out the top three picks and say that my favorite pick of this draft was Josh Jones, the safety. What I like about this guy, not to mention, of course, the speed, as we've talked about a little bit, but the knock on this dude is that he can get a little too out of control. And honestly, I'm okay with that being a trait of a guy playing safety. That can be learned a little bit. When they say the dude just has a mentality for hitting people as soon as he gets on the field, I like that a lot. like guys like Cam Chancellor come to mind when I hear that kind of thing. And if he's the kind of guy that we could team up with Clinton Dix as our safety tandem here in a couple years, I'm cool with that. I would love that. Not to mention this dude's fast enough. He could probably play a little bit of corner, come up in the box, help stop the run a little bit. I like this guy a lot. Mm-hmm. I was actually more excited about this pick than the Kevin Kane pick, to be real. Him, not as much for the immediate impact. I really don't think it's that as much, mainly because our safety position's in a pretty good spot right now with Burnett and Clinton Dix. But I think there's ways for this guy to contribute even this upcoming year and moving forward. Relatively young guy. I think he's only 21, maybe 22. But yeah, he's the guy I'm most excited about moving forward in this defense.
Jordan and I both picked guys that a lot of people were really angry about the Packers picking initially.
See, I don't,
because they weren't edge rushers, understand. So nothing else mattered.
Well, yeah, that's what it was.
I can understand the Montrevious Adams anger a bit. I mean, with the whole laziness streak, that'll turn off any fan.
Yeah.
Even if you do see some highlight reels, like I think relatively educated fans, when they hear that guys take plays off, there's a big worrisome streak. Whereas if you, like for me, I'm the exact opposite. When I hear a guy is too over aggressive, I can live with that. Yeah. That can be tamed by a good coach.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm excited about Jones. Yeah.
But with Adams, the talent is there, and that's why I was excited.
It is.
What's funny is that everybody was so angry about Adams because a huge part of it was because they passed on Beagle. And then they got Beagle in the fourth round.
Yeah.
So then everybody really calmed down, and they're like, okay, maybe the Adams pick wasn't so bad. So.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
It's almost like Ted knows what he's doing.
No, don't go that far, John. Let's not go that far.
You did mention before, Dusty, about not getting any picks right. I won't say very confident, but I thought there was a real chance they were going to go for Perrine at the start of the.
I was kind of eyeing that as well. I thought that's where they were going.
I was like, if I get that, it would have been a round off, but I was still taking that to the bank. Yeah. So that'd have been nice. but worked out well.
Yep, I'm happy with how this all went.
And, I mean, as we talked about before we recorded the show tonight, that, you know, we would take care of the first four rounds of the draft, I will stick with round four and go with the dude that I had mentioned earlier in the draft, Vince Beagle. Earlier in the episode, Vince Beagle. I told you the list of company. I mean, eight guys on this list, and seven of them have been just absolute quarterback destroyers in the NFL since like early in their careers, and have been very effective. So I think that the upside for Vince Beagle is just insane, and I'm really looking forward to seeing if he can join this list of pass rushers that is actually very incredible. So with that being said, you guys did send us in some Twitter questions, and we would love to answer those questions. So Jordan,
we would.
All right, the first question. I'm not gonna lie, I read this Twitter handle wrong. It read to me at Cheeseheads Suck, but I'm starting to realize it's at Cheeseheads UK. So sorry,
makes
to
a lot more sense.
Sorry to my British fans for the way
you
I read
sound
that.
Like
but I'm
you're
like,
from London.
This is why? For Packers fans, this is an awfully negative attitude in the Twitter handle. All right, their question is: which new players do you think will be starting this year? And which do you think are projects for the future? I feel like we've jumped on that a little bit. I think the guy who has the best chance of starting is probably our first pick, just because of the need, the greatest need in our secondary. I think Keane's got the best shot at maybe winning a starting spot. Just looking at the other picks that we made, maybe Beagle on the edge could potentially become a starter this year. I'm just looking at you look at Montrevious Adams. I mean, he's pretty low on the depth chart right now on the D line. He's more a depth pick. Josh Jones is behind some good safeties. I think Kevin Kane's got the best shot.
I'm gonna go. It depends on what you mean by starter. If you mean like he's out there for the first snap, like it doesn't really matter. As far as getting decent snaps every game, like I think Williams and Jones are gonna see a lot. Jamal Williams, at least Jamal Williams, I think is gonna see a lot early on. Like of those running backs we picked, I think him. He's going to see the most. I can see them working Aaron Jones in as well. But, I mean, those guys, especially with releasing Michael and Jackson, I mean, that's your running back trio right there. So I think they're going to see they're going to see a ton of time this year.
I'll offer up Josh Jones. Again, I'm assuming the same thing that Dusty is, that you don't mean who's going to be in on the first snap, but who's going to get significant snaps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Josh Jones, not so much because, you know, he's going to come in and supplant – an established starter. We have two really good safeties, but Morgan Burnett started to play a little bit inside linebacker last year, but Morgan Burnett can play inside linebacker against the pass, not against the run. And we didn't really have another safety to come in and play against the pass, except, you know, maybe Micah Hyde. We don't have that Micah Hyde now. And Kentrell Bryce, I like him, but he's going to be much better against the run. He's a hard hitter. He's not the guy that's going to drop deep and get you an interception or run in seam with a good tight end. Josh Jones is a guy with the athleticism to do those things. And that's going to free up Morgan Burnett to play a lot of inside linebacker and nickel situations, dime situations, things like that. So, you know, kind of, you know, not through him just taking over a position, but him being able to offer up a new wrinkle in this defense, Josh Jones, I think, is going to get a whole lot of those snaps.
And I'll counter that,
Burnett can play on running downs. Like, Burnett is really good in the box, but I think what Jones can give you, one of the things Jones can give you, is you can essentially run the same plays with slightly different packages. You can switch those guys out a little bit. But, I mean, I think Burnett's going to be better in coverage, but he can play the run. Burnett is very good against the
Burnett
run.
Burnett can play the run, but I wouldn't put him against the run at inside linebacker over Jake Ryan or even Clay Matthews, because those are two guys that can clog up the middle a whole lot better than he can. I like what he can do in the box as a safety, as a complement to those inside linebackers that can stuff the run. But if we're relying on him to be a full-time inside linebacker, that's just not going to be the case.
Sure. Okay.
And I'll answer. Yeah. I'll answer the second part of that Twitter question with like who is a project that the Packers drafted, and I'm gonna go with
all kind of skipped that part.
And I'm gonna go with Malachi. I think the dude has insane skill as everyone's seen in the draft tape. Like the guy is just a freak athlete, but he's competing against some top receivers in this Packers organization. And I think that he will find his way onto the Packers roster. But with some development with guys like Devontae and Jordy, I think that this guy's skills will flourish and that he definitely has a potential to become a top wideout in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really suffered from being...
interesting thing. Maybe
go ahead, Jordan.
Interesting thing maybe into this offseason, maybe into the season as well, is you talk about Dupree, John. I agree. I mean, the guy is a crazy athlete, and we're stacked at wide receiver right now. What happens with potentially like a Randall Cobb? You know, where's his role on this team? If a guy like Dupree ends up panning out, it's like we're paying a guy like Cobb $10 million a year. Yep. It's an interesting spot. I don't see him on the team very much longer. Yeah. I don't know. It's
Dupree's like at least a year away, though. I mean, I lower guys. Like, I wonder about Trevor Davis. I mean, I assume Janice is gone now.
Yeah,
I mean, don't be surprised to see Trevor Davis not make the roster because of Malachi Dupree. The point I was going to make about Dupree is he really suffered playing at LSU with really bad quarterbacks and an offense that relied on Leonard Fournette, and they just ran the ball with him, you know, 75 times a game, and it worked.
Also, if you watch him, and if you read any scouting reports on him, it reads like basically a more athletic Jeff Janis. Straight line speed, has trouble kind of getting up to speed, terrible route runner, inconsistent hands, like... Dude's at least a year or two away. I mean, I think Davis is going to be good this year. I think Davis is going to contribute, but if Dupree does jump up a little, that does make some of those decisions a little harder. I think Dupree seems like a practice squad guy to me this year, at least.
I will say though about Dupree, I mean, the competition's a little bit better than what Janice is going up against too. So I mean, the criticisms are fine, but again, you're talking about poor quarterback play down in LSU. I mean, I don't know how much focus was really put on the receivers when you have a Leonard Fournette down there running the ball. Mm-hmm. So with good coaching, who knows what this, maybe the dude makes a little bit bigger of a jump, and yeah, they're good points. They're all good points. All right. Second question here, guys. This is from @TrackOnPack. If Ty Montgomery starts all 16 games this year, what will his stats look like at the end of the season? I'll say this. If Ty Montgomery starts all 16 games this year, first of all, I'll be very surprised. Yeah. based on three running backs getting drafted. But the question says if he did start all 16 games, that means he's outperforming those dudes, and he's probably a 1,000-yard rusher, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
If he's able to hold on to that starting spot all year, if he's able to hold on to that, I think he's a 1,000-yard rusher. To be completely honest,
I'm not so convinced that he would be a 1,000-yard rusher. Partially because, you know, he's more of a swing around than run through the tackles kind of guy. Because of the way this offense is going to be run, and you know, he's just going to be used in so many different ways that he's not going to. I don't know that he's ever going to run the ball 25 or 30 times to ever have that, you know, 150-yard rushing day. I see him more as a 1,000 to 1,200 all-purpose yards type, as opposed to just straight rushing yards. Like, a lot of screen passes, a lot of bubble passes, things like that, where he's just being used all over the field as opposed to just running the ball.
Ryan, he doesn't need 25 carries a game if he only needs 10 to get to 100 yards. So
that's a good point. All right, so we're talking at minimum of 3,000 rushing yards, 2,000 receiving yards.
There you go.
And you know what? Let's throw in 1,000 passing yards just because.
I think
also too. This is actually. Oh, sorry.
I think Brian made the best point where it's like, you know, we
got what else is new.
you got to look at all purpose yards with a guy like Ty Montgomery, and I think that he could be bordering on 1,000 rushing yards in this season if he's healthy. I mean, I think that the guy has natural skill at running back, and give him a full offseason to really learn every single play. And he could potentially be a 1,000-yard rusher, but all purpose yards, if he's healthy for all 16 games, he's gonna be right around 1,200 all-purpose yards. Yeah. Nine to ten touchdowns. I could see it.
I can't remember the last time we had a 1,000-yard rusher. I have to look back for that. But
Eddie Lacy, like two, three years ago.
Sam Congato.
That dude, like Travis Jervac in the NFL, had like just the biggest pot belly I've ever seen on a man. I love Sam.
Oh, by the way, that's Dr. Sam Congato.
Dr. Gatto. I apologize. Dr. Gatto, if you're listening, I respect you. I loved you.
try to get Sam Con on the podcast.
We really should. Like, if you start all 16 games at running back, you need to average 62 and a half yards a game to crack 1,000.
Yeah.
That's nothing. I mean, that's the thing. If he does, so for in this hypothetical world, if he starts all 16, he could get to 1,000. I mean, he showed last year, man, for a guy that's never really played running back at a full-time job anywhere, he's amazingly good. Like, he's very patient. He's not just dancing behind the line. He's patient. He sees the holes. He explodes through them. He finishes runs. Like, the dude's just – he's really, really good.
Yeah.
But I think – I would like to say 1,000-yard rusher – but I think with drafting three guys, I think Mays probably ends up practice squad. So you've got Montgomery and two guys. They're going to split that up a lot. Yeah, like, yeah. I could see, like, I don't know, 700 yards rushing, 600 yards receiving or something like that. Because they're going to mix them around a lot. They're going to throw them. Brian, you mentioned the bubble screens and stuff. Like, you can see that. They're also just going to line him out wide sometimes because they know he can do it. So, I mean, I think he's going to be a running back. But unlike any running back we've had, because he can do he's what – his running ability is kind of what we always hoped Cobb would be, and Montgomery is better at it, and he's also a very good receiver. So I'm going to go like 700 rushing, 600 receiving, something like that.
He just screams of a guy that could run for like 185 yards in 1 week and then 18 in the next week, just because, you know, people adjust things and, you know.
That's still on pace. Well, that's still on pace. Yeah,
and that's what I'm saying.
but that's just, but, I mean, that's less how the league adjusts, no, I think, and more how McCarthy seems to use running backs.
Right. When you look back at Ty's stats, though, last year when he got consistent touches, his numbers were consistent. When he got the high number touches, his numbers were consistent. So when you give him a number one running back role and you give him 20 touches a game, his numbers will be consistent in my mind. And he probably will have games where he goes off. But, I mean, at least I'd expect 80 yards all-purpose per game out of Ty.
But that's the thing. You talk about consistent carries. Mike McCarthy is our head coach. He's going to give 25 carries to Ty Montgomery when the matchup calls for it.
That's true.
You know, going up against the Seattle Seahawks, do you think he's going to get 25 or 30 carries? That wouldn't make a whole lot of sense, you know? Mike McCarthy is our head coach. He's going to mix things up in the backfield. And Aaron Rodgers is our quarterback. So how many running plays is he going to audible out of? Or how many, you know, situations where another team would run the ball are we going to say we're going to pass because we have Aaron Rodgers and our best chance at getting a first down or a touchdown is with the ball in Aaron Rodgers' hands?
But all he needs to do is average 60 a game. That's the thing. Like, he doesn't need to do – you don't need to do much to get 1,000. I just don't know that he's going to get the touches with the other guys in the backfield to do that.
But, yeah, I'd say I'm like with Dusty, like somewhere between 1,000 and 1,300 all-purpose yards. Mm. I'm not convinced that he'll be a 1,000-yard rusher.
The real question is Ripper going to go for 1,300 this year?
I don't know that anybody can keep him. Like, he's going to break the rushing record, I would bet.
Return yards or rushing yards?
Rushing yards.
Okay.
Return yards. With Ripkowski, it won't so much be yards. It'll be touchdowns. Ripkowski's going to get a lot of return touchdowns.
I just remember, like, one of the most terrifying returners I can remember was Najee Davenport.
He just
get up to speed, and people are trying to hit him at 15 and just bouncing off of him because he's just this huge fella just at full speed running down the field. That was just – I can't imagine tackling that man.
Man, if we could get a podcast where we had Najee Davenport and Sam Congato on – dude, just imagine two opposite characters.
The third, what is that? The third and fifth string running backs of 2005. Is that what that was?
That would be the best episode of any podcast of all time.
Probably.
Just two completely different people.
I also want to say one. As long as we kind of jokingly went with Ripkowski returning. There's also that concern, too. I mean, last year, you know, who was our punt returner? It was Micah Hyde most of the time, yeah. And he's gone. Dude, so that's another.
I think they're going to. I think Trevor Davis. I think Davis is making the team. I think they're going to give him a shot. He muffed a punt, but he muffed one. I think it's going to be Davis.
I'm with Dusty.
Man, they punished him like crazy for muffing that. They punished him like crazy for muffing that punt, though.
Yeah, I think he got two touches the rest of the year after that. Like, it was bad. He barely saw the field.
It was odd. I remember that. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see if they. I didn't even think about Cobb. That's actually a very good point, Brian. It'll be interesting to see what they do
Cobb's a good returner, especially a punt returner. I love seeing him back on punts.
That's how he started, really, becoming an impact player for us.
Yeah, so, don't need him to be that top receiver this year. We've got Jordy and Adams, and then we've got Bennett and Kendricks, man. Let Jordy make a huge impact on punt returns and, you know, here and there impacts as a receiver. Whew. That's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I completely agree. All right, we got one more question. This is from at Adam Lindner 16. He asks, do you see Vince Beagle being a key contributor and possibly on defense this season?
I got this one, guys. Yes.
Take it away, John. Take it away.
I just did. Please. I just took it away. Yes.
He took it. You don't need your permission.
Well, give it back.
Jordan, take it. Jordan, it's yours again.
Okay. A key contributor? I don't know about key contributor. That'd be nice if he did. If he is a key contributor, then this defense is going to be considerably better than it was last year. I think he contributes, but again, I don't see him being a starter. Definitely not right away. But I mean, training camp is still a couple months away. We just don't know anything yet. I will say this in terms of the Beagle and Watt discussion that you guys had earlier. I watched pretty much every Wisconsin game. Being a Badger fan, pretty much watched every game. Watt is the flashier player, the more talented player. Beagle's more consistent, in my opinion. I think he did more for the Badgers in most of the game than Watt. I think, not to say Watt took plays off, but Beagle always seemed to be there when they needed a play, which is, you know, I think you're going to bode well for the Packers. So whether it's this year or not, I'm not sure, but this team needs edge rushing. So this guy's capable of doing it. So yeah, I don't know, like key contributor, but a contributor.
Now, Jordan, you said if he's a key contributor, then you feel really good about this defense. I actually feel the opposite way. I feel really good about this defense if he is contributing in more of a role player type of capacity, you know. As a rookie, if he can find a way to get 5 sacks and a few tackles behind the line and just contribute here and there. But if he is a key contributor, that probably means that there's been some injuries at that outside linebacker position and he has passed a couple people up. Cause, you know, I would imagine that day one, he's starting on the depth chart behind 3 or even 4 players. So I don't know. I'm a little bit worried if he has to be a key contributor.
Well, that's certainly a possibility. I understand where you're coming from. Or there's just the possibility that he just outplays his draft pick. And I mean, there's a couple options there, and that's just, we don't know yet. We just don't know what we're going to get from these guys, and it'll be interesting to see come training camp. But yeah, no, I'm with you there.
And
well, I think if nothing else, he'd be a demon on special teams. I mean, special teams has been a problem for so long. That's where he's going to start. I mentioned earlier about Janice. I mean, if, one of the reasons Janice is still around is just his special teams prowess. And I think Beagle will allow for Janice to be cut. Just, I think Beagle can make that big of an impact on special teams. And that could be huge. I mean, it's not always flashy. It's not always amazing, but man, we've lived through bad special teams. So having one or two guys that can make a difference would be amazing. And Beagle will be that. And then you bring him out on pass rushing downs. I mean, again, Kyler Fackrell picked up a couple sacks last year, and Beagle's better than Fackrell. So. Yes. And like 10 years younger than Fackrell, I think. Yes. I don't know that he'll be a regular contributor, but I think he'll be an impact one, if only on special teams for the most part.
And one thing out of my big Beagle love fest that I've been having this whole podcast, that I've yet to mention, is that in his days as a Badger, Beagle actually, spent a little bit of time dropping back off the line and doing a little bit of coverage. And If he can develop that into the NFL and the tackles and whoever's blocking him does not know what's coming at him, I mean, you pretty much have a completely versatile guy that is going to, in my mind, is going to be a key contributor, as I stated way early on in this Twitter question, and I actually do see Vince Beagle finishing second on this team in sacks this year. You heard it here first.
Ooh,
wow.
Ooh,
you heard it here first.
That's a spicy meatball.
Hey, Nick Perry. Nick Perry's going to be the only one ahead of him. Bang, bang. Bang, bang.
That's legit.
Bang, bang. What's the thing?
I mean, Jordan, do we have any more Twitter questions?
That's actually all I got for you, man. That's it on my end.
As I state close to every week, I feel like the Twitter question brings out the best in us. The Twitter question segment.
I love them.
I love the Twitter question segment. And if you want to hear us at our best, keep sending them in, because we all absolutely love it. And we love hearing you guys' voices. So keep sending your stuff in, and we will continue loving to respond to your questions. And with that being said, we don't really have much more to talk to you guys about besides our final thoughts. And Brian, what is your final thought this evening?
Oh boy. All right. our faithful listeners, Dusty, Jordan, you guys will remember last year at the beginning of the offseason, I took an oath not to say anything negative about Dom Capers for the rest of the offseason. I took no such oath this offseason. I've been preaching for him to be gone for quite some time, but all right. Really, it's not even just Dom Capers. It's Ted Thompson too. The excuses for defense just have to stop at this point. I just can't stomach them anymore. Defense has contributed to playoff oustings and, you know, a lot of mid-season losses, and it's just been way too many. And, you know, we've invested a lot in the offense, and I get that, but the Patriots proved this year, and the Seahawks proved a couple years ago, and the Broncos a couple years ago, that you can have a good offense and defense at the same time. It is possible. The reason I say no more excuses is because this has been another defense heavy draft. And so I kind of did a little bit of digging into Thompson's draft history. I went back to the 2012 draft. You know, that was the one after the season where the Packers went 15-1. That offense set records for being great, and the defense set records for being just terrible. And I looked at rounds 1 through 4 because that's where you kind of expect to find starters and good players. So 29 picks between 2012 and 2017. Now I included this one, 29 picks in total in rounds 1 through 4, 20 of them have been on the defensive side of the ball.
Gracious.
That is a major investment. So that right there tells me Dom Capers really needs to get it together. You know, 20 players picked in the first 4 rounds in a 5-year span. No more excuses. Like, you have to put up at this point. You can't complain about, especially now, lack of speed. We picked speed on all 3 levels of the defense in this draft. You can't complain about not having depth. We have, you know, we've spent in free agency. We've added players here and there. We've, you know, and now 4 more picks, our first 4 picks this year on defense. And, you know, and especially going back to that 2012, 5 picks in the first 4 rounds and all 5 of them on defense. So I kind of broke it down a little bit further, and this tells me that Ted Thompson actually needs to step up his game as well. Of those 20 picks, I found 10 that I'm not willing to make a judgment on yet. 4 of those being the picks from this year. And then from last year, Dean Lowry, Blake Martinez, Kyler Fackrell, and Kenny Clark. Fackrell, I'm really close to putting in the bad column, but yeah. It's only been 1 year, so I won't make a decision on that yet. And then from the year before that, Demaryius Randall and Quentin Rollins. Usually when we're going into year 3, we should have a pretty good idea of what these players are going to be, but we have no idea. 1 really good year for them, 1 terrible year for them. So, you know, jury's still out there. So that leaves 10 picks that I am comfortable with calling good or bad. In the bad column, you've got a couple really bad ones. Jarrell Worthy being the biggest name there. That's one that I was so excited about, and he just tanked. Jerron McMillan, kind of on the fence. He did at least stick around for a while, but never really did much. Kyree Thornton was terrible. Carl Bradford kind of got promoted here and there, but never did anything. So that's a bad one. And then we're looking at 6 that I'm ready to call good. Nick Perry, Casey Hayward, Mike Daniels,
D'Tone Jones, again, kind of on the fence, but I'd say he did more good than bad and stuck around for 4 years. And then HaHa Clinton Dix and Jake Ryan. So of the 10 that I'm willing to grade at this point, 6 of them have been good. Like, his hit percentage in the first 4 rounds on defense needs to go way up with these 10 guys that are sitting on the fence right now. And there are 2 or 3 that I'm, you know, pretty sure aren't going to be big time contributors, but you know, that leaves 7 or 8 that really should be. So Thompson's hit percentage needs to go way up for him to have any defensive credibility. And Dom Capers needs to start actually using these guys and getting them to their full potential. So it's kind of a duo thing. I went into this thinking, dude, I'm just going to rip Dom Capers a new one. But, you know, there's some on Ted Thompson here, too. If you're spending 20 draft picks out of 29 on defense, dude, more than 6 have to stick. And really, of those 6, Mike Daniels, I would call a great pick. Clinton Dix, I would call a great pick. Jake Ryan could become that. But Nick Perry was a good to very good pick. D'Tone Jones was pretty good. Casey Hayward, if he was still around and producing like he is for LA now, he could be one of those, you know, top ones. But man, you got to hit higher percentage. And Dom, you got to work with what you're given, man. It's time for this defense to be average to above average consistently. There's just way too much talent on it for me.
Man, the season hasn't even started and you're throwing shade on Thompson and Capers, Brian. That is amazing.
I'm not even throwing shade, man. I'm just saying, like, excuses have to stop.
No,
it's time for this defense to be good. I'm just...
I agree.
I guess you could say I'm calling them out, and I don't know.
I agree.
It's time. It's time for this defense to complement this offense.
And, you will hold them accountable. You will hold
I
them
will hold them accountable. I will. Like, honestly, like, I would have held them accountable and replaced Dom Capers at the end of this season if it were up to me. Now, thankfully, the decisions in Green Bay are not up to me because, like I said, I loved Jarrell Worthy coming out of the draft. So I fall in love with these guys that aren't going to be any good, of course. But man, it's just time. And I don't think this is a top 5 defense talent, so that's not what I'm going to hold them to. But, man, if we have another year like last year, given just how many top draft picks have been spent on this defense, dude, it's time for some changes.
And Brian, do you have a Twitter account? And do we have account?
Thank you.
As an organization?
We do, John. Thank you. Would you like me to share them now?
Please.
Okay, I will. You can find me on Twitter at @PTTF_Brian. You can find us on Twitter at @PTTF_podcast. Make sure you're checking out packtothefuture.com. We're going to have a whole bunch of draft content coming out, just scouting these picks that we made, undrafted guys that we picked. You can find, what are we at, 3 other podcasts right now.
Yeah. Bang bang.
Yeah, sure. Dude, check out all those. The bang, Sweep, bang. Blue Cheese, Packers in Law, some really good content that they all put out. So just you're gonna be hearing a whole lot more from us all the way throughout the off season. So yeah, keep tuned in.
And follow some of the writers while you're at it too, while you're reading some of these articles. They love your input too. And Dusty, what are your final thoughts? I know we don't really have any games going on right now besides maybe some NBA playoffs, but cheapest ticket would be probably in Toronto, Cleveland for $3 a ticket.
Yeah, I think you can get courtside for $12.
That's three Canadian dollars though. We're talking Canadian dollars. That's a lot of US.
Like, the problem is you can get it for 12, but, like, you have to talk to Drake all night, so it's just, like, what do I do? I don't know.
I'm on one.
You couldn't. I don't know if you could pay me enough to talk to Drake all night.
I get it, Drake. You're sad. I get it. Like, just come on, man.
It's the YOLO.
I gotta go to the bathroom. So yeah, no cheapest tickets. I didn't look it up. I mean, you could, for $0 on Thursday, go watch Dusty play softball, but I don't know that it's worth
bang,
the drive.
Bang, bang!
to see me just weekly ground out to shortstop over and over. So
same with Brian on Wednesdays with soccer. So
oh, nice. Ooh. That would probably be better, actually. But I don't know. We're 3-0 right now. We just completed a one-hit shutout on a team. So, yeah, I think we're pretty good. So
when you throw in the StubHub fees, though, is it really worth it to
go? Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, gas to drive and everything.
What position do you play, Dusty?
I'm generally a second baseman. I'm a right field this year.
Wow. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I'm in right field and hitting last. I'm also the coach. So, you know, I'm a player coach. I can't do it all. You know, my mind is elsewhere, so I got to dock myself a little bit. All right. I have three final thoughts. First one is I done one of these a while ago. A little self-promotion for me real quick. I recorded another one this past weekend on local legends, just kind of looking at different local folklore, kind of started here in Kentucky. This week I got, I drank a little more, and so I was a little more loose, and so I hope that went well. That should be out, hopefully by the time you hear this, I guess, actually. I did it on a child, the ghost of a child witch about 45 minutes from me. So that was kind of a, I was going to say a fun one to look into, but like, I don't know, like she died when she was 5. And so like, it's sad. Like it's kind of super sad, but super interesting. So be on the lookout for that. It's the Horror Writers Podcast, if you can find it. But yeah, that should be out later this week. I'll be talking about it. I'm excited about that one. Second point is, so as part of my off-season project, I've kind of gotten away from some Packers stuff a little bit. I'm still posting some GIFs and whatnot, but I kind of wanted to go around the league a little. I wanted to focus on some teams that maybe don't get a whole lot of focus on them. And so my first stop was the Browns. I decided to go there because I like Hugh Jackson's offensive mind, and I was kind of curious if that team was bad because of the scheme or bad because of the players within the scheme. So I've been watching a lot of Browns tape. I think I'm up to week 7 now, which has been super interesting. It's a different look at stuff. It's players I'm not, you know, super familiar with. It's schemes I'm not super familiar with. And guys, I got a hot take for you, man. The Browns were really bad last year. I don't know if you guys knew this, but
dude, you need to chill.
Browns were super bad last year.
You
but
need
like,
to chill.
But the thing is, like, they were bad, but like, you know, it's Hugh Jackson. Like, the schemes were solid. They had some really good talent. Like, Duke Johnson is really, really good. Isaiah Crowell's really, really good. Terrell Pryor is not there anymore, but he was great. Corey Coleman's great. Like, they had some great skill positions there. The offensive line was garbage for the most part. And, like, the quarterbacks, I don't have it in front of me. I think they started 5 or 6 quarterbacks last year, and the only one that threw more touchdowns than interceptions was Cody Kessler. Like, he was their best quarterback last year. But I don't think anyone started more than 4 games because they kept getting injured. Like, it's really interesting kind of looking at a team like that that obviously has some talent but has had front office issues and drafting issues and, like, just all kinds of upheaval. Because being a fan of the Packers, it's been so stable for so long. You kind of – I feel like – I know I do. I kind of take that for granted, and we've talked about that before. But, like, just watching another team and just say, like – they're not that far away, I don't think, especially if Coleman's your number one receiver. That's awesome. And Duke Johnson's going to be there for a while, and he's great. But, like, I don't ever see them doing it. Like, they don't seem like the kind of team that's going to turn it around. And it kind of makes you sad a little bit. So it's just – it's been cool kind of seeing something different, but at the same time really, really makes me appreciate that I was brought up as a Packers fan. So that's been awesome. It's been something interesting. It's kind of cool. So I'm looking forward to digging into more of that. So if you just see if you're following me on Twitter and you just see random Browns gifts from time to time, that's why. I kind of thought it'd be interesting to look at another team. Last final thought is Packers based. I'm going to go on a Packers note. We talked a lot about speed, drafting speed on defense, which is great. The problem, which we've also talked about a number of times that we did not talk about this week, has been Dom Capers' defense is overly complicated for a rookie. So you now have a whole bunch of super, super fast guys that might not know what they're doing, which means that just means they're just going to be out of position faster. So what I would love to see, which is probably not going to happen like completely, but they need to just simplify that playbook a little bit, make it a little more read and react, shorten the calls, simplify some of the calls. I mean, Dom Capers is a very, very good schemer, but speed can kind of make up for some of that. So if you kind of loosen the reins on some of that stuff a little, and if you just
you let the players play and you simplify the calls and you just let the speed do the work, man, that can do a whole lot of stuff for you. So I just kind of hope, I hope that with all these young guys coming in, especially in the secondary, I think King could be really good, but I also think King can get a little lost if it's overcomplicated. So I hope the playbook is maybe kind of dumbed down a little bit, at least in the early goings, or else you're just going to have a whole lot of fast guys just further away than they should be. So that's a concern of mine. But yeah, I'm man, after the draft, super excited about the season, super excited to see these guys in. I think it's going to be a good year. It's a little too far away, but it's going to be a good year. You can find me at Dusty Evely. Dusty Evesley.
Dusty Evesley. Dusty Evesley on the twit. He is always bringing the truth. And, you know, I am looking forward to hearing more about this witch story. I mean, I like to kind of stay away from the whole like Wiccan scene, I guess. But the stuff really creeps me out. But I'm interested to say the least. So
yeah, it's cool. It's a cool story. Be on the lookout for it. I didn't know much about it, but it's an interesting grave site. It's a cool story. A little creepy. It was fun. It's fun as a story about a dead 5-year old can be. Yay!
Yay! And Jorgen Tech, what is your final thought tonight?
Oh, it's a flashback to getting my name misprinted in the paper as a basketball player in high school. The good days, good days. It's a tough name, you know, Jordan Peck.
It's,
you know?
It's one of the tougher names out there.
Sometimes that P sounds like a T, you know.
It's no Damien anyway. Easley, but
no, it's very true. I do have a couple final thoughts. So actually just a few weeks ago had a connection through a friend to have access to a lake house down in Lake Norman in North Carolina.
Nice.
So yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful spot, beautiful lake. It was a lot of fun. But to be able to legally drive a speedboat and do the jet ski stuff, you need to have some, you know, documentation. You need to be licensed in order to do it. So we can take an online test to do that. So last night, me and three of my friends gathered together to just like, all right, we're going to knock this out real quick. We log into the website and we find out that this test has about 6 units, maybe dozens of different topics that you have to go through in order to pass all of these quizzes, which just lead up to the certification test, which wouldn't have been that bad if you can just skip through everything. But here's the thing. You would get to one topic and they wouldn't let you skip it for a certain amount of time. So you get to a topic and they tell you you have to wait 25 seconds before you can move on. I'm like, this is the worst. You had to do it with every single topic. This turned into a 2-night event. We finally finished it up tonight. So, but I am a proud, legal boat driver in the state of North Carolina. So I'm on cloud 9 dope. Right now. Yeah.
He's got,
yeah, it's a big,
he's
night.
Got documentation.
So that's pretty exciting. The other final thought, none of this has anything to do with football, by the way. You guys have talked about it a lot. So I'm not a big binge watcher of TV shows. I can probably count on one hand the amount of shows that I binge watched. And I don't know if you'd even count this as a binge watch. But I decided to go on the Hulu account that I have through actually our good friend Brian Avilas. I'm mooching your
bang,
Hulu,
bang.
As you already know.
Dude, but sure, wealth.
He logged in on my Xbox and it just stayed logged in. So you can't. I'm not gonna log out. That would be wrong. That would be wrong to do. But I decided to watch those first couple episodes of the show called The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh yeah.
Not a comedy. If you're looking for a comedy, it's dystopian America. Women are not looked at very highly. That is quite the understatement. But I will say this about the show: very tense and very entertaining. You can't really relax while you're watching it. Really, from beginning to end, you're just kind of always on edge that something may happen. Not many shows do that for me that keep me interested. This show is one of them, so I would recommend it. I think only three episodes have been put out right now, and they're due like one a week from here on in. But that's a good show. I don't do that very often, so if I find a good show, I usually let people know about it. And this is a good one. So I'd recommend that. But that's all I got for you guys this week. And you guys can find me on Twitter, usually tweeting NBA playoffs or NHL playoffs at this time of year. But you guys can find me at JGPeck41.
Jordan just remembered to mention his own Twitter handle.
I was just going
to
say that. I am so proud of
it's
him.
It's a new year.
I am so proud of Jorgen Tech baby. Right now. You did well. And
thank you.
I will watch The Handmaid's Tale. I will watch it, Jordan.
You should.
Solely based on your review.
It's on Hulu, by the way.
So watch it on Hulu.
There you go.
Watch it on Hulu. And I got a couple final thoughts for you guys, and I do not know if I'm going to turn this into a weekly segment or not yet. Something pretty great happened this week, and the theme of my possible weekly segment is going to be who is having the best week ever. And going back to last week, I got to say that Montrevious Adams had the best week ever. I mean, on the same night, he becomes a father and a Green Bay Packer. I mean,
that's legit.
How does life get any better than that? I mean, the two greatest blessings possible happened to him on the same night. So, Montrevious Adams, you are having the best week ever. And who kind of got on my naughty list is going to be the Golden State Warriors for the comments that they said about rooting for the Los Angeles Clippers to win the series against Utah Jazz. I don't know why I took offense to it, but it's disrespectful. They're talking about nightlife being better in LA. Yeah, it is. Okay. But you should be focused on one thing, and that is winning an NBA championship. And I had this conversation with Jordan earlier this week, and he's like, it's something that the Golden State Warriors can get away with. But to me, that excuse just does not float the boat. You have to have your mindset. You have to have your mindset on one thing, and that is NBA championships, and not where you're going to get a drink after a game. Focus on the game. I'm sorry, but the Golden State Warriors, you will lose the NBA Finals this year solely based on those comments.
Boom.
You heard it here first.
All right, hold on. Hold on. You can't throw me under the bus and not let me respond to this.
Yes, he can.
This is ridiculous.
That's his God-given
right.
I may
have said that.
Go, yeah, Pat, go.
Pretty much, you may have...
Thanks for talking to us, guys.
Oversimplified my argument. This does not mean what I said was the Warriors are going to beat the Jazz in a series. That is what I said.
Oh, I said, no.
Can they get away with it? Of course.
You were like,
of course they. Of course they.
Oh,
convenient.
No, stop. I feel like anytime I try to just say something back to Jordan,
they're only spending two nights in Utah anyway. Then that series is over. Then they can go play in Houston.
No.
So or San Antonio.
No.
And you think? You think the Jazz can beat the Warriors?
No.
Absolutely not.
Stop it, John.
Absolutely not. But at the same time, I think it's the Matt Barnes effect, where anytime Matt Barnes says anything to the media, I just find it disgusting. So but
let me just ask you, are people in Salt Lake City like saying, oh dude, we got stuff that LA doesn't have?
You should see this one club we have that closes at 9. That's awesome. You guys don't love it.
Usually people are home by 8:15, but we stay up until 9.
Oh, you want something to eat after the game? No, too bad.
That's a big ass.
Cold pizza for you guys. But guys, I will tell you what. The Packers draft in the books. We don't know what we got yet, but we're hoping that some questions and some voids were filled, and that this is the draft class that propels the Packers to another Lombardi Trophy coming home soon. Hopefully this year, that would just be the icing on the cake. But you know, follow us all season long. We got the ins that you guys so desire. And thank you again for tuning in. We are Pack to the Future. Bang, bang. Go, Pack, go.
Go, Pack, go.
Bang, bang.
Go, Pack, go.
Bang, bang.